Our text this morning is Matthew chapter 13. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For in tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And these are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Those are the words of Jesus as he concluded telling this parable of the sower and the seed. But his disciples wanted to learn more, to learn why, Jesus, are you using parables? Jesus' answer is surprising. He quotes Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, a passage used five other times in the New Testament, a passage that is mysterious and perplexing. It doesn't seem to teach what we think it should. When Isaiah received the call to God to be God's prophet, some of the first instructions given to him from God were these words: go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. That's the quotation Jesus spoke to his disciples when they asked him, why do you teach in parables? And he goes on to tell these men, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. The disciples believe Jesus. They believe he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, as Peter confessed in John 6. But not all who hear will believe. Jesus uses the illustration of different types of soil to describe different hearers of God's word: a wayside or path, packed down hard ground; stony ground with no room for deep roots; thorny, weedy soil with other plants that compete with the seed of the word; and finally, good ground, soil in which roots can grow deep and strong. All the types of ground do begin with the word of God being sown on them. All of them, Jesus says, hear the word. But only one type of soil hears, understands, and bears fruit: faith which shows itself in love toward God and toward neighbor. Who are these people of the good soil? And why are they the only ones from whom come this good fruit? There is a mystery here, and in our Lutheran Confessions, Augsburg Confession, Article 5, we confess this is beyond us. Right after Article 4 on justification, where we describe what justifying faith is, we go on to confess, to obtain such faith, God instituted the office of the ministry, that is, provided the gospel and the sacraments. Through these, as through means, he gives the Holy Spirit, who works faith when and where he pleases in those who hear the gospel. The words "when and where the Holy Spirit pleases" are the words which are the mystery. We confess this profound mystery, and it serves as a warning to any sorts of plans or predictions or projections we might be tempted to initiate so as to peer into the mysteries of God's work. It is not that planning and organization are wrong. What is wrong and what cannot be predicted is how a hearer of God's word will receive it. What sort of ground? We don't know. And that is why we confess the Holy Spirit creates faith in those who hear the gospel where and when he pleases. Sociological studies do not predict the working of the seed, God's word, in the hearts of sinners. Psychological profiles do not inform us of the likelihood of an individual being open to or receiving by faith the implanted word of God. Business projections, however well-conceived, well-intentioned or designed, do not provide adequate models for peering into the future of God's kingdom here on earth. The work of the Holy Spirit, the creation of saving faith in Jesus Christ, is not an activity that we humans can calculate. 70 years ago, Dr. Herman Sasse described these attempts to predict results of the work of the Holy Spirit as seeking the Holy Spirit where he is not to be found. That happens when the Word of God is no longer trusted to bring about the kingdom of God, so we look for other methods to achieve the results we think we should get. These other methods, finally, though, do not bring the kingdom of God, but only the kingdoms of our own imaginations. We are called to trust that God will work as he wills. He desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God promises us in another part of Isaiah, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." That word of God is described for us this way by the author of Hebrews. The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Here we are in the realm of God's revelation, a revelation that does not give us everything we want to know, but which gives us everything we need to know, and then simply says, "Trust the Lord, and let your confidence be in that word that he gives." Now, the preaching of God's word, that sowing of the seed, is not an option for the church, but is its primary work in this world. Paul makes it clear when he says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." This is something we desire to do and to support so that souls may hear the word that gives salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. There's also a warning to us in this parable of the sower and the seed. The warning is that we take care not to presume that we can always go and hear the word another day, as if there's no immediacy to it, there's no urgency for it. But there is. Martin Luther warned his German people, that you should know that God's word and grace is like a passing shower of rain which does not return where it once has been. The decades and centuries after Luther would see the rise of rationalism, the word of God disparaged, churches no longer preaching Christ but only some social gospel about how to have a better society, as if that is what Jesus came to do. And can we say that our own day is so much better than those that have gone before? There are plenty of warnings for us not to take God's word for granted. And so we commit ourselves to keep hearing the word, learning the word until, as we confess in the catechism, we've taught the devil to death. And we put our confidence not in our own piety or desires, but in the promise of God that his word remains forever. It remains the foundation of our faith, for in that word you receive all that Jesus has won for you, his death to give you life. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The hymn goes this way. No care nor effort either is needed day or night, how ye may draw him hither in your own strength and might. He comes with gladness, moved by his love alone, to calm your fear and sadness. To him they well are known. Amen. And glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.